We're reading from the book of Ruth, starting at chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? I have yet sons in my womb, that they may become your husbands. Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest.
Hi, it's great to be here with you. Great to be asked to spend these next few Tuesdays looking at this Old Testament book of Ruth, which some people call the greatest or one of the greatest short stories ever written. I don't want to spoil it for you, for those who don't know it, but there is the love element. Ruth, Boaz, will they, won't they? There's the cliffhangers, there's the tension. Where is the next meal going to come from? There's humour in here, there's irony, there's tragedy, like a Shakespearean classic. There are three funerals, there's one wedding, there's even a baby at the end. Ah, there's a happy ending. Who doesn't like a happy ending? And all of this is in just 4 short chapters. 10 minutes. That is all it will take to read one of the greatest short stories ever written. But this is no ordinary story. This is no fiction story. The book of Ruth is part of the Bible. This is part of God's salvation plan for the whole world. And that, therefore, has huge relevance for you and me today. One of the key words in the book of Ruth is the Hebrew word hesed. It is often translated kindness, and that's how it's translated here in chapter 1, verse 8. May the Lord deal kindly with you. But the way we use the word kindness, it's hesed, is much stronger than that. It speaks of a very deep, committed love towards someone. We're going to see it today in chapter 1, the way Ruth clings to Naomi. We will see it between Ruth and Boaz in chapters 3 and 4. But above all, we're going to see it in the way God himself, the God of the Bible, offers a deep and loving commitment to each and every one of us through the person of Jesus Christ. Okay, the book of Ruth is no fiction story from the past. This is a true story that you can be a part of today. So that's by way of introduction. Let's dive into chapter 1. Verses 1 to 5, we see a tragic start. A tragic start. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. Now, opening sentence of a book, always important, particularly so in Hebrew narrative. Why start like this? Do you know what the days of the judges were like? You can just flick back in your Bibles to the last verse of Judges. Down there in verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone was doing as they saw fit. If you've seen the film Mad Max Fury Road, if you remember what it was like with the London riots, this is what the days of the judges were like. Chaos, carnage, social, moral, everyone doing as they saw fit. And, well, I mean, we pride ourselves today on doing what we think is best. If it feels right to you, go ahead and do it. If only everyone could have their own morality. Just read the book of Judges. It is carnage. And that is how God's people were living back then. God's people who had God's law, God's word. What is right, what is wrong? They did not care. They had abandoned God's word. They were not listening to him. They were doing as they saw fit. And so, verse 1, there was a famine in the land. Because even though the people didn't care, God does care. God always cares how his people treat him, his word, his world. Do you know back in Leviticus chapter 26, God had said to his people, obey my word, and that is the path to life and blessing. Disobey my word, that is the path to death and famine. People didn't care what God said. They're doing as they see fit, but God's word never lies. And that's why there is a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the names of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. Now, what do you think about that, this move of them from Israel to Moab? Do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea? You can just think of it in your head, good or bad. Humanly speaking, it seems like a good idea. There's a famine, there's no food, they need food. There's food in Moab, so let's go there. Humanly speaking, seems like a good idea. Biblically speaking, it is a terrible idea. Under the old covenant, God had said, life, blessing, prosperity is to be found with me in my land, the land of Israel. If there's a famine, you should be staying here, depending on me. In the face of famine, you should repent of your sin, not run off into doing more sin somewhere else. You're meant to be a blessing to the nation, not run off to the nations. But everyone does as they see fit. Do you know the name Elimelech means my God is king? Tragic that this man is not living out his name. And what happens when everyone does as they see fit, does right in their own eyes? Verse 3, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. Surely the family will turn back now. Surely they will repent. They will confess their sin. They'll come back to God and his word. No. Verse 4, these two sons take Moabite wives. The name one was Orpah, the name the other Ruth. Something that God's word expressly prohibited. marrying foreign women. But these are the days when the judges ruled. These are the days when everyone does right in their own eyes. Everyone doing as they saw fit, guess what happens next? Verse 5. Both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and without her husband. Now, what a tragic start to the book. Sin, famine. Sin, death. More sin, more death. And so this book begins with the terrible consequences of turning from God's word. And yet many people are doing just that today. Many people today treat the Bible, God's word for us today, as something of a joke. It's offensive, it's irrelevant for 21st century living. There is enormous cultural pressure right now on individuals, maybe you feel it if you're a Christian, to turn from God's word. Pressure on the Church of England right now, with its ongoing discussion in human sexuality, to turn from God's word. A nation which, by and large, has already turned and is turning its back on God's word. And perhaps people say, and perhaps some of us think, well, who cares? And the beginning of Ruth is a reminder to us that God does care. He always cares. There are always consequences. Doesn't mean we should expect a famine across England now, or your husband to drop down dead. This is the old covenant God's people were under. But throughout the Bible, whoever it is, whenever it is, turning from God's word never pays. There are always consequences, and God does not want us to make the same mistake as this family did here. Even if it seems a good idea at first, it probably did to them going off to Moab. They've got food. But the consequences caught up with them. Mahlon and Chilion lived an extra 10 years. They probably thought there was nothing wrong with what they were doing. But the consequences caught up with them. Heed the warning, whether we call ourselves Christians here or not, not to have the same tragedy or similar tragedy in our lives today. That's the first thing. And a pretty depressing start to the book, right? But secondly, verses 6 to 17, we see a gracious turn of events. Verse 6, then she, Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people, the Lord had given them food. Did you know this is only one of two verses in the whole book where God, the Lord, is the subject of the sentence? The Lord actively doing something, coming to the aid of his people, providing food for them. Now, we're not told explicitly, but presumably the nation had repented and confessed their sin. And the wonderful thing about God is whenever you confess your sin, no matter how bad it is, there is always forgiveness. There is always a fresh start. And so Naomi returns back. But it's quite interesting looking at Naomi because she herself individually doesn't seem very repentant. Look at her in verse 8 where she says to her daughters-in-law, she actually tells them not to come back with her, but to go back to Moab. Go return, each of you, to her mother's house. And when Ruth and Orpah refuse in verse 10, Naomi's at it again in verse 11. Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Oh, I don't know, Naomi. Perhaps because Israelites are meant to be a blessing to the nations. Perhaps because this is an opportunity for Ruth and Orpah, who are Moabite women, to come to know the one true God of the universe and be saved and receive forgiveness and have the blessing that he offers. That would be a good reason for them to come back with you. But Naomi can't see it. Verse 13. No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. She's bitter, she's grumpy. It's not exactly the best of witnesses. It's sort of like anti-evangelism. And Orpah's like, I'm out of here. Verse 14, kisses her, walks off the pages of Scripture, and we never see Orpah again. But Ruth clung to her. That word, clung, cling, is the same word used back in Genesis chapter 2 for when a husband holds fast, clings to his wife. Think of the love there. Think of the commitment there. That is what Ruth is showing Ruth is showing Naomi here.
Naomi, you're still not interested in verse 15. See, your sister-in-law's gone back to her people and to her goods, so her gods, return after your sister-in-law.
But Ruth says no. Ruth clings to Naomi. These famous words in verses 16 to 17. Let me read them to you. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you."
These are incredible words of commitment. Remember, Ruth is the Moabite. She's the outsider. She's the foreigner. And yet here is she expressing this firm trust and commitment in the God of the Bible and to Naomi, one of God's people. Incredible commitment. This gracious act, the Lord coming to the aid of his people, directly giving them food. The Lord also indirectly coming to the aid of Naomi through Ruth, giving Naomi Ruth. Now, I want us to see how this sort of works in the bigger picture of the Bible story. Because, of course, Ruth is not the final answer, the final solution to Naomi's problems. But she is a picture, she is a pointer to that final solution. The final solution of the Bible, which is Jesus Christ. All of the Old Testament stories, the law, the prophets, the wisdom, including this story, point forward to him. And ultimately, his loving commitment towards us. Despite our sin, despite all the times we today do as we see fit and ignore God's word and turn from God's word and sometimes receive the consequences now for turning against God's word, the Lord still comes to our aid today in the person of Jesus Christ, providing forgiveness of sin through his death. Where you die, I will die. Except Jesus didn't just die with us, he died for us. He died for our sin. He died for the punishment. He bore the punishment of our sin in our place. Now that is commitment, that is love. To leave the perfection of heaven, to be born into the sinfulness of this world, to go to the cross, to sweat blood in Gethsemane, the cry of anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me? At any moment he could have stopped it, he didn't deserve to do it, but he willfully, committedly went to the cross for you and for me and for my sin, even though we've rejected him, so that we could be forgiven and have the one relationship in this universe that matters, a relationship with him. So as you read this story and you see Ruth, and thought, wouldn't it be great to have someone like Ruth, who's so committed to me, and so loving towards me? The good news of Christianity is that in the person of Jesus Christ, you already have that person who has died on a cross 2,000 years ago for your and for my sin and says, that is how committed I am to you. Now, Naomi can't see any of this commitment from God at this stage. All we get in verses 18 to 22 is her bitter response, and this is where we're going to finish. How would you expect Naomi to respond? Oh, Ruth, that is fantastic. I can't believe you would like show such loving commitment towards me. That's just what I needed to hear. Come here, give me a hug. You get none of it in verse 18. And when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more. Shrug of the shoulders, whatever, silent treatment. Naomi is completely blind to what Ruth is doing, to what God is doing through Ruth. And you can see her bitterness in verses 19 to 22 as Naomi and Ruth arrive back in Bethlehem. And the women of the town say, can this be Naomi? And Naomi's like, don't call me Naomi, by the way, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter, because I'm a bitter person now. No positives, only negatives. She blames God. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty.
Really? You went away full? There was famine in the land. You were hungry. There was social and moral chaos. You should have turned back to God, not run away from God. Brought you back empty? What about Ruth? What about the fact you're still alive? Unlike your husband and sons. No, no, Naomi says in verse 21. The Lord has testified against me. The Almighty has brought calamity upon me. Well, yes and no. Maybe. But only so much as it brings Naomi back to him. One commentator puts it like this for us today. Like Naomi, we may be so busy complaining about our emptiness that we miss the fact that God has emptied our hands only in order to fill them with something so much better. I don't know if that's you. I know it can be me. Sometimes it can feel that God is not there. Sometimes it can feel that God has turned his back on you. When it is us who have actually turned our back on him. And what we need to do is not complain, but confess our sin, recognizing there's always forgiveness with God because of Jesus' death for us. If you are someone here who ever doubts God's commitment to you, his love of you, we can look to the cross and see Jesus Christ dying for us and staying on the cross for us at unimaginable cost to himself. So that whatever you're going through right now, affliction, misfortune, you can be confident that the Lord is doing this to draw you back to himself. It could be, for one or two here, you might describe your life right now as pretty empty. Are you open to the possibility that the Lord is precisely doing that so he can fill your life with something so much better? Because that is the God of Ruth chapter 1, and that is the same God revealed to us in Jesus Christ today. Let me stop there. Let me pray for us all. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you very much indeed for this wonderful short story in your word, the Bible, this book of Ruth, and all that it is going to reveal to us about you and your deep, loving commitment towards us. Ultimately, as we see it today, in the person of Jesus Christ. Please, with your Holy Spirit, reveal any sin in our hearts that we need to turn from and confess to you, knowing that there is always forgiveness with you. Please help to root out any bitterness in our hearts, knowing that you work out all things for the good of those you love, and you love to draw us back to yourselves, and you will never let us go. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.